my goals in footnotes is to highlight anything that brings home to us the radical nature of Christianity, particularly on the level of the corporate community of faith. Recently, I was studying Genesis 17 again, the chapter that introduces circumcision as an identity marker of the people of God. And much to my surprise, I realized that its symbolism was both radical and revolutionary. I can remember asking, with some embarrassment, one of my professors at Bible college about circumcision. It simply seemed odd to me that the removal of the foreskin of the penis should be the badge of belonging to the task force we call Israel with its unique world mandates. Would it not have been better if they had, for instance, a meaningful symbol tattooed on the right arm that would be visible to everyone and last a lifetime? My professor didn't seem to have a problem with the penis, but I did. And it's only recently that I've come to see that circumcision is, in fact, a brilliant symbol that in the culture of the ancient Near East captured beautifully the mission and meaning of Israel. And as Paul says that baptism is the new covenant equivalent of circumcision, it becomes a priority that we understand its meaning. And to do so, as we will see, is to radicalize baptism by infusing it with the Old Testament meaning of circumcision. The easiest way to approach things is just to run through the various levels of meaning in circumcision one by one. Some are obvious, but some are embedded in a culture foreign to us. But all are life-changing and are a legacy we need to recover. First, circumcision was to be set aside as an individual for the Lord himself. In ancient literature, one reads about circumcising a field or an orchard. The word circumcise means cutting off, so that the produce of the field or the orchard can be set aside for God. And the same was true for people in Israel. To be circumcised meant that you were set aside for the Lord. The word is similar in its thought to the word Nazarite, which means one who is separated. The Nazarite was one who was cut off from seeking their own ambition. They were separated, they were set aside for the purposes of God. Secondly, circumcision meant that one's commitment was lifelong. Circumcision was an ineradicable mark in your body that reflected a lifelong bond. In this sense, it was like a tattoo, declaring your allegiance to the people and purposes of God that could never be erased. In many cultures, you were circumcised at puberty, and the belief lying behind the practice was probably that it increased the virility of the males. But in Israel, babies were circumcised at 8 days old, as a sign that even children participated in the blessing of the covenant and could contribute towards its fulfillment, which is why, of course, Jesus said that the kingdom belonged to them. Thirdly, circumcision was an initiation into the community of faith. When a Jew thought about his circumcision, primarily, it reminded him not about his personal faith, although this was important, but that he belonged to a people. It was a mark in his body that told him that he was embedded in a community of faith, a covenant people, set apart by God for a unique mission in the earth. This mark was his badge of belonging. Sadly, we don't carry this over into New Testament baptism, even though the New Testament makes it clear that baptism is equally an initiation into the community of faith who have inherited the mandates to heal the wound of the world that was given to Israel. When we think of baptism, we think of personal repentance, personal faith, personal commitment, and the rich legacy that it's our badge of belonging that means we're now embedded in a community of faith, a covenant people set apart by God for a unique mission in the earth has been largely lost. But without this dimension of initiation, we privatize Christianity and cease to be a people. However, if we understand circumcision, we recapture the dynamism of belonging to a pioneering people and spearheading God's purposes to the ends of the earth. Fourthly, the mark on your body was a sacred reminder of your mission. As I've just said, the covenant was all about God raising up a task force, a witness nation, to carry forward the sacred seed, to birth the Messiah, and to bring in the kingdom. The promise to Abraham, the one who would spearhead this initiative, was that through him, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And as I've said, the sign of belonging to this unique people was circumcision. But the big question is, why is the sign the removal of the foreskin of the penis? Part of the answer is to look at the male organ in the ancient world was not primarily to think of sexual gratification, but of procreation. It was the organ essential for the survival and continuation of a people. We all live in nations that are well established, but for most of human history, the goal of most people groups has been simply to survive. Famine, drought, disease, and war have threatened the very existence of every people group. So to look at the male organ was not primarily to think of sexual gratification, but of offspring. Pleasure was important, but secondary. The number one goal was to procreate and survive. And in Israel, the circumcised male organ would remind them not only of this, but also that their seed was dedicated to God, and that through the promised seed, the Messiah would come, and that through the Messiah, all the people groups of the earth would not simply survive, but flourish and be blessed. Salvation, justice, reconciliation, peace, and shalom would be the fulfillment of the covenant. And the sign of this covenant was circumcision. Fifthly, physical circumcision was always meant to reflect a circumcision of the heart. In the Old Testament, physical circumcision was only meant to be a sign that in one's heart you were set aside for God. As you grew to adulthood, the physical circumcision you'd experienced as an 8-day-old baby matured into a spiritual circumcision as you were taught Torah and became conscious that your life was cut off so it could be set aside for the Lord. The outward without the inward was without value. And when Israel was backsliding, they were repeatedly told to circumcise their hearts or face the judgment of the Lord. The same perspective is also found in the New Testament, where Paul, in defining what a real Jew is, makes the radical statement in Romans 2 that real circumcision is a matter of the heart, spiritual and not literal. Nothing could be clearer than this. The physical was only ever meant to reflect a deeper inward commitment. And of course, the same is true of baptism. It's not the physical washing of water that's important, but the spiritual realities that this represents. Six, it was a cutting off of the flesh. the literal cutting off of the flesh that took place in the act of circumcision, look forward to the day when the cutting off of the flesh would be possible by the work of the indwelling Spirit. And this is why God was raising Israel up and why it was such a powerful badge of their identity. Paul speaks of the human condition since the fall as being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh. The flesh on the micro level means selfishness, sexual deviancy, anger, pride, disease, and death. The flesh on the macro level means war, famine, injustice, poverty, genocide, death camps, gulags, and racism. But the wonder of what would be achieved through Israel is that the flesh, both on the micro and the macro level, would one day be dealt with through the seed of the woman, the promised Messiah, and therefore after the death and resurrection of Jesus, Paul can announce in Colossians 2 that you're circumcised with the circumcision made without hands in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So when God gave Abraham this badge of identity back in Genesis 17, nothing could have captured the hope of mankind so vividly as the symbolism of circumcision. 7, it was a means of ensuring the participation of men in the mission of the covenant people. To secure the involvement of men in the ancient Near East was to secure the participation of the whole family and tribal structure. And with its focus on the men, this is what circumcision did. Women were included in the sense that they were the recipients of the seed that came through the circumcised male. They would nurture it and bring it to birth. But without the full participation of the males in their role as warriors, Israel would not have survived in its hostile environment, sandwiched as it was between the superpowers of the day. However, once the new covenant is inaugurated and baptism has replaced circumcision, women became full participants alongside men. However, we should also keep in mind that if circumcision is really a thing of the heart, then women were not, in the deepest sense, excluded, as before God, they could equally set themselves apart for the Lord's purposes, as indeed most of them did. 8, it was a foreshadowing of the new creation. The Eastern Orthodox theologian J. Danilio remarks that, quote, the number 8 was for ancient Christianity the symbol of the resurrection, for it was on the day after the Sabbath, and so the 8th day, that Christ rose from the tomb. Furthermore, the 7 days of the week are the image of the time of this world, and the 8th day of life everlasting and the new creation, unquote. The mission of Israel will be climaxed by the death and resurrection of the Messiah on the 8th day. Now, I might be overreaching at this point, but if the mission of Israel will be climaxed by the death and resurrection of the Messiah on the 8th day, and the badge of belonging to this task force is circumcision, then being circumcised on the 8th day after you were born seems to be of great symbolic significance. From the beginning, it's declaring your participation in this victory that will bring in the new creation and take Eden to the ends of the earth. Jesus rested in the tomb on the 7th day after the completion of his work of redemption on the 6th day, just as his Father rested on the 7th day after the completion of his work of creation on the sixth day. And on the basis of his finished work, we now live in the eighth day. Not fully and finally, we live in the now, but not yet. But God's tomorrow has, in truth, already invaded man's today. And as believers, we are an eighth-day community. We already participate in the new creation. Indeed, Paul says that to be in Christ is already to be a new creation. And what God has already done for me, a tiny piece of the creation, he'll one day do for the whole cosmos. And this is what God was setting out to do with Abraham and Israel. And the badge of belonging was circumcision. And this cutting off so that they could be set aside for the task was done on the eighth day, as when their task was completed, it would usher in the eighth day, and the glory of the Lord would cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And this is what God was setting out to do with Abraham and Israel. And the badge of belonging was circumcision, and this cutting off so that they could be set aside for the task was done on the eighth day, as when their task was completed, it would usher in the eighth day, and the glory of the Lord would cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And so, as those who have been circumcised, or in New Testament language, baptized, we're part of a community with an extraordinary mandate from God. And looking back helps us to see how radical the agenda was from the beginning, and how far we've come, in the good sense, from Abraham. And this should give us courage and a trajectory for our generation that's both compelling and biblically faithful.